the impossible. There's a lot of weird things that are out there that are the unknown. Welcome to the world of logic contraptions. All the goofy pals are here. The talk radio show about aliens and about the unknown that groans. Welcome to the world of logic contraptions. All the goofy pals are here. The talk show about aliens and about psychics and the ghosts. Whatever you believe in, it's here. The unknown is clear. Welcome to the world of logic and contraptions. All the goofy pals are here. To talk on the radio station, aliens and psychics and ghosts. That will teach you about this world all the most. There's a lot of strange things out there. Believe in the impossible.
All right, we have a guest on tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we do?
We do.
Yeah.
Well.
Let's call him. I'm excited for this. See if he answers. Hey, Tim, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, buddy. I'm going to introduce...
Oh, boy.
I'm going to introduce you and then put you on the air, okay?
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Timothy Green Beckley has been described as the Hunter S. Thompson of UFOlogy. Okay, ufology. It's ufology, right, Tim?
Ufology.
Now, some people say ufology, but we'll talk about that as we go along. Did you want to see my ugly face, by the way, or are we
good? You're good. I would love... Okay, yeah, let's do it.
Is anybody out there watching this? Yeah.
Here's Shelby. Here's my co-host.
Hello.
Here's everyone else.
Hey, look at this. Wow. You know, I think this is the first for me actually doing a... look at this. The gang is all here.
You look great. You look great, Tim.
Am I going to screw your minds up tonight?
Well, I mean, how do I describe Timothy Green Beckley? He's one of my favorite people in the field of ufology. He's a longtime guest on Coast to Coast FM.
Last time he was on our show was FCC Free Radio Days.
It was a long time ago?
It was a long time
ago. I'm sorry. I mean, Coast to Coast AM. Probably the show that, you know, shaped my whole life. He's written a ton of books. He's made movies. He's lived in a haunted house. He's seen UFOs. He had out-of-body experiences. Some of his famous books are The Curse of the Men in Black, Nazi UFO Time Travelers, Amityville and Beyond. He has a new book that I'm so excited to talk to him about. It's called The Matrix Control System of Philip K. Dick and the Paranormal Synchronicities of Timothy Green Beckley.
Oh,
hey,
okay.
I got a copy of it right here, man.
It's a beautiful looking book. I love the cover.
Yeah, Carol Rodriguez, who's been with us for many, many years, did the cover. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, of course, Philip K. Dick, who's responsible for The Man in the High Castle and movies that were made, Total Recall, Blade Runner, Adjustment Bureau. And he had some weird things, that happened to him over the years.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like poo-pooed by the science fiction fandom because they just don't believe in anything that's at all paranormal, you know?
Yeah,
They just don't hack it. In fact, back in 19... I think it was 77. He was giving a lecture in France, and they had a press conference, and he made a statement as part of a question and answer period. And this is actually on YouTube. You can find the clip. It runs for about 4 minutes, or it's on our YouTube channel, Mr. UFO Secret Files. Okay, and here's what he said. He told the audience, "I claim to remember a different, very different present life. I know of no one who has ever made this claim before, but I rather suspect that my experience is not unique. What perhaps is unique is my willingness to talk about it. We are living in a computer program reality, and the only clue we have to it is when some variable is changed and some alteration in our reality occurs." Now,
Tim. Yeah. So what you're actually saying is, like, in the 70s.
We live in a computer simulation.
And he was talking about the glitches in the Matrix even back then. That's how we know, right?
But you know, well, how I know is through my synchronicities. In the book, which runs about 400 pages, I have about 40 synchronicities. And I'm not talking about, you know, thinking of somebody and they call on the phone, you know, the next day, or looking up at the clock and it says 4:44. I don't even know what the significance 20. Of that is necessarily, but everybody seems to think that that's some kind of magical number.
Coast to Coast AM listeners love 11:11. They think 11:11.
Yes, indeed. But I mean, I'm talking about things that are just like so totally beyond the pale of coincidence that somebody up there has to be like guiding us through these experiences, these synchronicities. Now, the only thing is people think that there is some great pattern to this, or if you follow your synchronicities, all your wishes and dreams will come true. Not true. There's a great, what we call, trickster factor in this. In fact, let me just tell you a little story here.
I'm listening. Let's do it.
Start out the evening. Back about 2 months ago, I went with my friend Maria DeAndre, who's a psychic, and she's written quite a number of books for us, to Atlantic City. Now, we don't gamble. In fact, sometimes we don't even use the coupon that they give you when you get off the bus, but we get out of town. I mean, here I am living in the middle of Manhattan. They're putting up 4 skyscrapers on the block all around me. It's just too much to handle. You got to go out and, you know, look at the ocean every once in a while. So it's a cheap trick. Well, it's a cheap trip. You can see where my mind is. Yeah, it's a cheap trip on a Greyhound. It takes about 3 hours to get there. Okay, so we go every couple of months. We went recently to see the Christmas tree being put up and so forth. Now, as you get off the New Jersey freeway, you start to pass through the local area to get to the casino. And you pass through a lot of minor little hotels and Dunkin' Donuts and so forth. The bus winds through town before you get to your final destination. The casino has its own parking lot for buses, believe it or not. So about a block away from the hotel, there is a bed and breakfast. And on the roof of the bed and breakfast are statues made out of metal, I assume, of the Blues Brothers. Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, of course.
The greatest blues band of all time.
Well, indeed. But we don't even know why they're there, because the bed and breakfast that they're on the top of has nothing to do with the Blues Brothers or the bar with the same name or anything. But it's a nice little figures on the roof. You know, they're lifelike. And so I happened to mention to Maria as we went towards the casino. We had another 2 blocks to go after passing these 2 statues. I said, you know, Dan Aykroyd is very much into the subject, of course.
Oh, yes, he is. We love that.
Yeah,
him.
He's been a supporter of the Mutual UFO Network. He's had Men in Black experiences. While he was talking to Britney Spears on the phone, I don't follow the connection there, but, you know, he grew up in a house where his grandparents actually used to have seance circles with mediums and things along that line. In fact, his father, who is still alive, I understand, and is a performer, a comedian himself, wrote a book about maybe 10 years ago about growing up in a house where seances were being held. And you could tell he knew a little something about parapsychology and all. And, of course, Aykroyd co-authored Ghostbusters, the movie, right? So we know he has a genuine interest. Plus, he has Crystal Skull Vodka.
Yes.
One of the best vodkas going.
Oh.
It's not...
Alien vodka.
Great stuff. So he's really into it. It's no joke. It's something that he's spent a great deal of his life being interested in. Okay, so we pull into the bus into the terminal at the casino, and we get out to turn in our coupons to get the $25 put on our membership card so that we can go in and lose it in just a few minutes, you know. No, yeah. But anyway, as we go up to the cash cage, this is before you even get into the casino.
Right.
They have about five or six cages there where you turn in your coupons and get your tokens and whatever. What do they start playing on the house speaker music but the theme song to Ghostbusters?
Oh my God.
Now, okay, well, we're not talking like there's a disc jockey, you know, a DJ at the end of the room. This is like some Pandora. I don't even know where elevator music.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah.
Where's it coming from? Minneapolis or San Francisco or somewhere? I don't know. But
yeah.
I mean, obviously, they don't know what our conversation was. So I said, "Well, here's another synchronicity, Maria. But let's look and see if there aren't any Ghostbusters slot machines."
Okay, I'm really into this story. Keep on.
Okay, all right, okay. So I'm thinking to myself, well, now, here's their chance, whoever they are, the synchronicity board. You know, Charles Fort said that we were like pieces of a chessboard, that somebody was manipulating us. And this would be kind of the synchronicities would kind of show that. To some extent, at least I think so. So we go in and ask around and find out if there are any Ghostbusters slot machines. And one of the ladies that works there says, "Oh, I think they're on the other side of the casino." So we get very excited about this. We're going to win $100,000. We got to come away with some kind of booty here. Okay, so we find the area where the Ghostbusters the slot machines are supposed to be, and there's a big impression in the rug. They're gone. So we ask somebody what happened to the Ghostbusters slot machines. Oh, they took them away 2 months ago.
Aye.
Okay, so here's our big opportunity blown out the window. But doing a little bit further research, we found out that they were only penny slot machines anyway. So it's even if we won, we would have come home with $159 in a red scooter or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
So there is this trickster element to this. It's kind of like, you know, the kids come home at 4 o'clock and get a hold of the joystick and decide to have a little fun with us humans down here.
Yeah, and Philip K. Dick talked about this before, stuff like The Matrix. He was hinting at it in things like
The Matrix,
Total Recall.
The Matrix was based on some of his theories and ideology, although he didn't get credit for it. But here's something I found out. We have on our show, Exploring the Bizarre, Tessa Dick, who is his fifth wife. It turns out that
she does some writing in the new book too, right?
Oh yeah. Well, she's an author herself and a very good one. Anyway, it turns out that Philip K. Dick never owned a computer, and only most of his career used a manual typewriter. So I'm not even sure how he knew we were in the stuck in a computer simulation. Except he did have some strange visitations, which are described in the in the book that I did. I collated all the material.
Yeah, and has some of our friends that have been on our show, like Tim Swartz and Diane Tessman, also.
Yes.
So Tim, tell me, in your opinion. Mm-hmm. All right, you argue that yes, we are living in a computer simulation. Do you think, would you rather be awake and awakened out of it, or are you perfectly happy in our simulation?
Oh, you know something? I wonder what's on the other side.
That's the question.
Maybe it's far worse, or maybe it's just one simulation after another simulation. Now, one thing about Philip K. Dick, he thought that history was not stagnant, that there are events going on simultaneously in other dimensions and in other realms, and we may be living in all of them at the same time. Now, he had a memory of living in the time of Christ when he was a Roman soldier, and he had entire recall about that period as if he had actually lived there, and he was even able to use the language of that period, which isn't even the Latin or whatever is used today.
Yeah.
And there is a word for that, which I can't remember offhand.
Yeah.
Where you
have what is that language, Shelby? You know it.
Oh, not
The name of the language or the name of...
Back in the day. Anyway, yeah. That
Well, it doesn't
Arabic or something.
Aramaic is the language, but he's talking about...
It's totally freaky. It's more than I can count on my 12 fingers. I mean, my 10 fingers. My
You recall a number of these synchronicities in the new book, right? Like, you recorded them?
Oh, my God. I have so many of them now.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Well,
you just got to really
keep your
eyes up.
I was in your glorious city of San Francisco.
Tell us about this.
It was the first time I had ever been there. This was back, I think, in the mid maybe 1974, 1975. I had been invited to give a lecture for the National UFO Congress that Dale Reddick was organizing that year. They had a nice sized crowd, and I spoke on, if I remember correctly, a Saturday evening. Now, the next day, I was due to fly back to New York, but had some time to kill. So we decided to have brunch together. It was me and Dale, his wife, and maybe three or four other members of the UFO group that had organized this this event. So we picked a place at random to have brunch. I like my Bloody Marys on Sunday. Thank you very much. And we just picked a place at random. I certainly had never been there before because I'd never been in San Francisco. And they hadn't been in this particular place either. So we sat down. We started to chat, just having a little conversation. And I happened to mention, I said, you know, too bad that I hadn't put a little bit more thinking into this. I should have made some telephone calls to get in touch with people that I know who used to live in New York and who now live out in San Francisco. And I happened to mention a gentleman by the name of Alan Vaughn. I was running back in the early 1970s the New York School of Occult Arts and Sciences, which was one of the first metaphysical or occult centers in the United States, many copycats years.
Where was that at, in New York?
Yeah, on 14th Street, just in the outskirts of Greenwich Village.
Cool.
And we had classes in astral projection, hypnosis, ufology, how to catch Bigfoot, you know, things along that line.
Standard.
Although in Manhattan, you might have a little bit of a problem catching up with Bigfoot, but not necessarily, because we did have some sightings on Staten Island at the time. Anyway, Alan Vaughn was a psychic, and he was a psychic and a prophet. And a very good one, and he had a great personality. After his workshops and lectures, sometimes we'd sneak away for a beer and chat for a few hours. I liked him as a friend, in addition to him, teaching students in our group.
Yeah.
So he had moved to San Francisco to become the editor of a glossy magazine on parapsychology called Psychic. In those days, there were dozens of magazines on every subject that you can imagine. And this one was a little bit above like Fate magazine as far as it's aimed at its audience. You know, Fate being a magazine.
It was a legit magazine, though. Glossy. That's like it was on the
glossy,
newsstand.
Glossy. Yeah. Glossy. Yeah, newsstand. 20,000, 30,000 circulation. Exclusive interviews with Peter Hurkos and Gene Dixon and so forth.
Yeah.
And so I happened to mention to this little group while we were having brunch that, geez, I should have called Alan Vaughn and invited him to the lecture. Well, 2 minutes later, the door to the restaurant opens, and this individual comes in walking a dog on his leash who looks like Alan Vaughn. And I said to myself, well, how could this possibly be Alan Vaughn? He doesn't know we're here because we don't know where we are. And the gentleman comes over and looks at us, and I look at him, and I said, are you Alan Vaughn? And he says, yes, I am. Well, now, San Francisco, what's your population there, about a million?
Yeah, about a million, 700,000.
Yeah, about a million. Okay, what are the chances of someone coming through the door that you haven't seen in 5 years that has he's never been in the restaurant before?
Yeah.
I'd never been there. Nobody's ever been there. Here's
chances are good because techies don't go to restaurants.
But
here's the punchline. I haven't finished the punchline.
Go
so
for it.
I said, Alan, what are you working on these days? He says, well, I happen to be working on a book on synchronicity and coincidence. And that was published in, that was published like in 1978 or something. For 50 cents, you can still you know, buy it on Amazon for $2 or something like that. Yeah. And I believe that this is case like 29 in the book. How is that possible? But that's only one of 30 or 40 synchronicities that I have had that prove that there is some controlling factor, or I won't say somebody in charge, because I don't know if they necessarily rule our life's destiny, but every once in a while they poke their finger, see?
Well, listen, and, like, I think that sometimes I've noticed it happen more like when you're traveling or when you're outside of where you're from, you know? Like sometimes I can manifest a friend out when I'm in a different country or a different
city. Yeah, you sure as hell can't do it here.
You know, and so maybe like maybe when you leave the comfort zone of where you're programmed or something, glitches can occur or something like that.
Well, you know, you might have a point there. There was another incident, and this one actually. Let me see. I can prove this here. Okay. Well, I'll get into the story. There was an organization that existed in Tucson, Arizona, for many, many years, the Area Phenomena Research Organization. It's been defunct now for about, 20, 25 years. It was run by a husband and wife team, Carl and Jim Lorenzen. Now, the two big UFO groups at that time were Major Kehoe's National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, which was pushing for congressional hearing and disclosure. While APRO was more interested in humanoid sightings and creatures and close encounters and landings and so forth. Well, I was kind of curious about the group. I was never a member, but I had read a couple of paperbacks that they had written, Jim and Carl Lorenzen. And I was invited out to Tucson to give a private little talk to a group. I don't even World UFO Group or something like that that has like 20 members there in Tucson, but it's organized by Alan Benz. Now, Alan Benz happened to be the librarian for the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, so I wanted to kind of pick his brain, you know, and see if he had some inside information. Now, it turns out that when I think it was Columbia Pictures or Paramount was just starting to put together and collect information to do Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they were in touch with this group, APRO, and Jim and Coral turned over the correspondence to Alan Benz to handle, and he talked to them on the telephone and sent him some clippings and some things that got him started. This was before Dr. Hynek became involved in the project. Okay, so I got some information on that, and I spoke to Alan Benz, and he's been on our show and recorded the conversation for about 3 or 4 hours. And then my friend Charlotte and I decided we wanted to take a couple of days and go out to Sedona. So we get into her vehicle and drive the, I think it takes about 4 or 5 hours. Very scenic route, and if you've ever been to Sedona, it's like the meditation capital of the
You've
world.
You've been to Sedona, right, Eric?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of vortexes down there.
Wow, vortexes. Yeah. Well, believe me, there are... There are vortexes down there. No doubt about that. People go down to meditate. There have been all kinds of UFO sightings. Weird cryptoid creatures seen walking across the main street of a town. You got all your crystal shops and your occult bookstores and things along that line. And it's Shirley MacLaine owns a place there. That's got right. A lot of art galleries, restaurants. It's kind of the Woodstock of the Southwest, I would say. Okay, anyway, we stop at a place on the way into town called the Coffee Pot. This is where all the locals go to hang out. You got 103 kinds of omelets that you can order and drink coffee till you urinate all day long.
I love to do that.
Nothing. And a great coffee and a great place to hang out. They got a little yard, you know, with a little waterfall and a great view of the Red Rocks and everything.
Cool.
Okay, so we have our brunch, Bloody Mary, of course, and we go out to get back into the car. we go out into the parking lot to get back into the car, and we notice that the vehicle next to the car that we were driving was sticking out of the parking space just a little bit too much. So anyway, we noticed that what was on the back of the license plate says APRO. Here's a photograph of it. APRO. Yes, to prove it. Now, the organization has not been in existence for, like I say, 25 years. So, and even if somebody had been a member, let's say, nobody knew that we were going there. Nobody knew that we were going to be parking in that particular parking space. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, how does that happen? That's beyond a coincidence. You can't make this stuff up. Here's the photographic proof. I'm not BSing anybody.
How do I take a screenshot? Hold on.
Yes.
I'm trying to take a screenshot here so I could. I need the. Oh, I got it. Okay, hold on. Let me hold up that picture again, please. Yeah. Okay. Well, no. Hold it to the camera more.
To your left.
Okay. Hold on.
Move it to your left.
There you go. Okay. Got it. Hold it right there. Beautiful. Thank you. Right.
You were hitting the Seinfeld baseline button this whole time.
Well, you know, you're looking the opposite way here when you're doing this. I don't know. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, I could go on and on.
Want to hear about some synchronicity that just happened, Tim?
Absolutely.
I'm in my feed right now. Someone totally unrelated to the show and wouldn't be listening right now posted this picture of Philip K. Dick. And do you see it?
Yes, I do.
That's Philip K. Dick and Nicole Panter, who was the manager of the Germs. So Philip K. Dick was hanging out with punk rockers. What a coincidence that is that we were talking about him in that picture.
Yes.
Because I wanted to talk about you. Mr. Creepo was hanging out with the New York Dolls back in the day. Sorry, Mr.
Yes.
Timothy Beckley here. He is on Edgar Winter's Frankenstein record.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
Is that true or false?
And you know, I have many musicians who are very envious of that. But I have to point out that I play no musical instrument except a triangle.
So is that what you play on? What do you do on Frankenstein, which is the greatest song ever written, by the way?
Well, okay. It's on the album. It's not on the
song.
We know the song.
The cut itself. There is a song on the Frankenstein album called We All Had a Really Good Time.
Mm-hmm.
And the record company wanted some background sound effects of people having a good time. So they put us in the recording studio along with a couple of bottles of alcohol. Let me see. Rick Derringer was there. A couple of
the Chambers Brothers.
Bette Midler. And I hit an ashtray with a set of keys for about 15 minutes.
That's awesome. If you
listen to that song, you can hear people whooping it up. We all had a really good time. It's on the Frankenstein album. So I'm on a platinum album, man.
Now, that's amazing. Another musician, David Bowie was known to be, you know, he dabbled in the occult and witchcraft. Didn't David Bowie have some sort of connection?
Well, yes. Actually, David Bowie wrote a book about 5-6 years ago. This is the only one that he's actually authored.
Yeah, the book he wrote.
It's called Bowie, I believe. And there is a chapter in there about his involvement with witchcraft and the occult.
And he didn't like Crowley. He thought Crowley was a huckster. He liked someone else, though. I forget who.
My friend who was associated with him was a young lady by the name of Wally Elmark. She was known as the White Witch of New York.
Uh-huh.
She taught at our occult center, and she did a regular column for Circus Magazine. Now,
cool.
Circus Magazine was this glossy publication that was more pop-oriented than Rolling Stone or Call Daddy or anything else. And she was attractive and very astute and very easy to get along with, and all the musicians liked her. In fact, she did a spoken word album with Robert Fripp.
Wow, cool.
Mark Bolan, and I think somehow Bowie was involved with it. Bowie consulted with her several times because he thought that the place where he was living in California at the time had evil spirits in it, and that the demons were living in the bottom of the swimming pool. And so he had gotten in touch with her in order to get some sort of spell or ritual to remove the evil demons from this property, because he liked the place otherwise. He was very much into the UFOs and in Roswell UFO crash, and we've written about, there's a long article that I did about him after his passing that you can find on the internet. I think it's David Bowie, UFOs, cocaine, and the occult. Or
oh no, Mr.
Just something along there, okay. Podcasts and stuff after passing. Yeah, and I did meet him a couple of times. I think he was probably one of the most talented individuals in the entertainment business. There's no doubt.
Absolutely,
about it.
It's amazing. Timothy Green Beckley has a new book out. Everybody, it's called "The Matrix Control System of Philip K. Dick and the Paranormal Synchronicities of Timothy Green Beckley." He also has, it's a great book. It's awesome. I've read a couple chapters, and it's awesome if you're into Philip K. Dick and the more esoteric, druggy side of him, not just the hard sci-fi side of him. Also, you could always go to his website, conspiracyjournal.com. He has his own radio show called he's the host of Exploring the Bizarre with Tim Schwartz, who we love. And what's your YouTube channel? I always watch it.
Mr. UFO's Secret Files. And what we try to do there, we have Peter Bernard, who is an animator and a cartoonist. And we start out the show with animating a little bit of a little scene, like whatever's going to happen that night. He does a cartoon kind of version of it. It's kind of our non-serious moment.
Yeah, I like when you guys do the scary stories, but you tell the best stories, and you've always brought us the best people. Tim Schwartz, Alan Goodman, we love.
Oh yes,
he's on our show often, and Diane Tessman and. Mm. And the bishop out of, what's his name, Alan?
Oh, Alan Greenfield.
Alan Greenfield,
oh,
that dude
goodness.
Is amazing. That dude did he did an invocation of Metatron at one of our live shows, actually.
Well, he did that on the Ground Zero, and the next day a mini tornado or storm went through there and threw the roof off of one of the off the building there.
We did a storm of amazing comedy after he did the invocation, so it was kind of the same thing right on stage. Tim, you're the best. I hope you come back on because I have so much to ask you. I have to ask you about UFO time traveling Nazis. I have to ask you how the Trump administration plays into all this.
Okay, and then the next book that I'm going to work on, I have some medical issues that I need to take care of.
Get
but
better.
I'm going to do a book, hopefully, called All That Glitters, because I was very much a part of the glam rock scene. And that hasn't been, you know, we did books on heavy metal and Led Zeppelin and David Bowie and Elvis Presley, but there's none that really covers the days of glam rock, the New York Dolls,
and you know
the
Magic
Tramps, Teenage Lust.
I want to talk to you about that because George Norrie isn't going to ask you about that. We are. You have to come to talk to us about that.
George Norrie wouldn't ask me about that?
No. Okay. But, like, that's just what I'm talking. You got ties to the punk scene, the horror scene, the glam metal scene.
I give the punk scene to Nick Redfern.
He comes on our show all the time. We love that guy.
Yeah, that's his area of expertise. I was there, like I say, during Frankenstein, the New York Dolls, Maxis, Kansas City. Here's a little
one more. Come on,
story.
Give me one.
I once swapped Alice Cooper. I gave him two joints, and he gave me two tickets to his show.
Nice, what a deal.
What a deal. Yeah.
Mr. Timothy Green Beckley, thank you so much for being on the show. We love you, man. Come back on soon, okay?
Peace and love.
Peace and love, baby.
Carry on. Be a maniac, my name. Yeah.
The new book, The Matrix Control System of Philip K. Dick and the Paranormal Synchronicities of Timothy Green Beckley, now available on Amazon.com. Mr. Creepo himself will be right back.